This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, we have on the phone our next guest with us. We've got Corey McMahon, who is the resident director for the show The Girl from the North Country. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Thanks very much for having me.
We're just aware that you've just rushed back from being down the shop. Anything important? Did you run out of toilet paper? What were you buying?
I should have told you beforehand, there's no secrets of David, all right? So.
No, look, it wasn't the shop. It was the theatre, actually. We've just had an afternoon matinee, so I was running back from the Comedy Theatre up to Queen Street.
Right, well, appreciate okay. that. That's great to be make yourself available for the show.
So give us a bit of a background on who you are, Corey, before we actually start talking about the show. I actually came to see the show last night, by the way.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm a theatre director based in Adelaide. And the principal producing company, GWB Productions, is based in Adelaide.
That's
so
right.
I have a relationship with them. I've been directing for about 16 years. I trained at Flinders University Drama Centre. I run my own company in Adelaide called Theatre Republic, but just occasionally when the phone rings and you get an offer like this one, you can't turn it down to work on such a fantastic show fantastic. And to work for GWB again. So, that's how I've become connected with Girl from the North Country.
And were you an actor when you first started out? Because that's what happens, isn't it, when you do your degree?
That's very perceptive of you. It is true. I actually, you guys got some kind of dossier on me. What's going on?
I'm from Adelaide, and don't we all know each other in Adelaide? Isn't
or related somehow?
So you know? or we know someone who went to our school. Or
exactly.
Like that.
That's right.
I did train as an actor. I got about halfway through and realised that. I think as an actor, I make a very good director. So I made the leap over to the directing course.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. Really. Yeah, like most of the directors, when they go through uni, start off as actors. So, but it's a good grounding too, Corey, isn't it?
I think it's really important, to be honest. I think you develop an understanding of the process that actors use in order to do the work that they do. So when you're working with actors, you're able to speak their language, you're able to tap into that process, and I think it makes for a better relationship between the actor and the text and the director. So for me anyway, for my work, it's always been a big bonus for sure.
And was there any particular reason why directing? I mean, I know that obviously it's a similar sort of field, but, you know, from acting, okay, you don't want to do acting, but is there any other roles that you could have, you know, taken on that, you know, would have been interesting, or was it just something that you just wanted to do, directing, or do you just like being in charge, Corey?
Yeah, are you a bossy bugger, are you?
Well, look, I think it's fair to say that most directors have a little bit of a control freak in them, I suspect. I shouldn't speak for all directors, but I'll put my hand up at this point. And seriously, I think I love creating, I love telling stories, but I'm not so interested in being on stage and being in front of an audience. Okay. So for me, it was thinking about what's the other role that contributes in a leading way with storytelling, and it turned out to be directing. I mean, the other thing is that when I studied as an actor, I felt like I was always outside watching the scene that I was in rather than being in it. And for me, that was a pretty strong indicator that I had a different perspective on that process and I should be outside working with actors rather than being one of them.
And how was it after your studies? I mean, I suppose breaking in as a director, you know, was it something that was smooth sailing or just really hard slog, basically?
It's a long game and you have to have that sort of tenacity, I think, to stick at it. So it wasn't easy. And I started a little collective when we left drama school, a group of us. We put on shows, and we got people along to see our work. Fortunately, Adelaide's not a big town, so you can develop those key relationships a little bit easier than perhaps in a city like Melbourne or Sydney, for example. So I was able to get the right people to see our work, and from that, you know, little green shoots started to show. I did some assisting for the then artistic director of State Theatre Company, Geordie Brookman, and then was very fortunate to be given a job directing a play for the Adelaide Festival as part of a Beckett triptych of plays. The play was called A Joe. Okay. It was a short play that featured an actor called Paul Blackwell. So that was my first sort of break into main stage work, and it just flowed on from there. So it was
great.
It's all about timing. It's all about timing, of course. But I was very lucky to be in the right place at the right time, I think.
Now, let's talk about this show that's on at the Comedy Theatre right now. It's called...
Yes. What's Girl from the North Country.
And there's a connection with Bob Dylan?
That's right. So the playwright Connor McPherson was invited by the estate of Bob Dylan, or Bob Dylan's management, I should say, to use his back catalogue, and he had carte blanche. He could pick any song or songs he wanted, and then create a play that was inspired by or influenced by those songs. So Connor's written a story that's set in Duluth, Minnesota, which happens to be where Bob Dylan is born, but it's set before his birth.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of the Great Depression.
Yep.
Yeah, it's set in 1934. It's in the middle of the Great Depression, and it's set in a guest house, which is run by a man by Nick Lane. And so a collection of people have all gathered in this house, people who have nowhere to go, or they've lost their home, or they're on their way through to somewhere else to collect money. And so it's a fantastic melting pot of all these different personalities and different lives all meeting in this guest house. And the show features 22 Dylan songs that have been rearranged by Simon Hale, who was the originating arranger and musical director of the original production. And so it's a big show with 20 odd characters.
And there's
on stage
a lot of people on stage at times, isn't there? Yeah.
Including the band. So when you include the band, we're looking at about 24, 25 people. And in Melbourne, I have to say, we're loving Melbourne so much because, in a way, we've got the band back together because we've had some actors who've been away because, you know, COVID is still present in our lives, and yep. It has impacted us, like other major shows that are running around the country. But we've landed in Melbourne with our full company back together, and so yes, there's a lot of people on stage, and it's fantastic. It's great to have them all back together.
And Corey, it's a very as you said, it's set in this a boarding house, but the way it's done, the screen behind, I love the way it's used, and it's got that real space of it's not called Outback, that's Australia, but a country, Americana, and you really get that sense of it being in that depression time and in the 30s, you know, like the it's sort of very black and whitish and grey. And the fact is that, microphones are used a lot of the time for the singers to walk forward and sing with the old style microphone, and the drummer, who a lot of the features very heavily the drumming, and often is a woman who's one of the actors as well. Very
That's Helen Dallimore. Yeah,
very interesting. The way the movement of people around the stage, because all of a sudden it really surprised me at one moment when the first time collectively everyone was on stage, I went, shit, there's a lot of people on stage. And I hadn't noticed that there were so many people until that moment when everyone was on stage at the one time.
Yeah, that's right. And then look, it's a really interesting device that he uses with the narrator. I mean, the narrator steps out at the top of the play and effectively tells you what the story is. And you know, we learn that, by the end of the play, we learn that spoiler alert, he's to all intents and purposes a ghost. He died.
Yeah.
And he's looking back and telling this story, and yet he inhabits the story at the same time. So... In actual fact, Connor often describes it as a bit of a ghost story, that they're all ghosts. They're all sort of memories of people who passed through this house.
Yeah.
And in a way, that makes it makes the staging much freer in a way. It gives you a bit of license to make some of those choices, like characters just step out of a scene and pick up a radio mic and start singing the way that they do. It's a wonderful, wonderful choice.
And you get the real feeling that it is the Depression, and it's not a joyous show by any stretch of the imagination, but beautifully performed and great storytelling.
Look, I mean, that's a fair comment. I would sort of counter that a little bit by saying that what it does capture beautifully is the sort of indomitable human spirit, that need to keep forging ahead and keep going, keep finding a way to just get through. And all of those characters, despite the headwinds that they face, that they all pick themselves up and they keep pushing forward. And I guess that's encapsulated by the song at the end of the show, Pressing On, which is this sort of rousing, sort of almost spiritual, sort of transcendent experience where Christina O'Neill, who plays Mrs. Nielsen, leads that song, and then the rest of the company come in behind her. I'm not religious in any way, shape or form, but I do feel a kind of almost spiritual, and I have that experience through that song because it's so powerful. I had a couple of women sitting next to me today because I sat in the auditorium who were moved to tears by the end of it, which was very powerful.
Fantastic.
I think that's the power of Dylan's lyrics and music through there.
Well, it is, and thank God that this has happened, Corey, because Dylan's lyrics are very very important, aren't they? And they're often washed over, aren't they, with other people covering, or even when Dylan sings them himself at times.
Yes, there has been some commentary about the fact that Dylan does do a bit of a number on his own songs
because he's not the greatest singer, and he drags the words
that's
out
exactly
sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, well, I actually,
you know, it's like
go on.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say it's like poetry, really. I mean, what it is.
Yeah.
And we often describe the stories a bit like vinegar, and the music is like honey. So yes, it is a play that about people living hard lives. But when those songs take place, it is a moment that those characters find a bit of stillness and a bit of peace, and they sort of look in on themselves and you know where they're at in their lives. And I think that's the great thing about this show. It doesn't function like a musical per se, where in traditional musicals, the song sort of pushes the narrative along. But in a way, the story sort of stops momentarily and a space opens up for those characters to reveal themselves and their innermost feelings before we pick up the story again. So it's unique in that way as well.
And the other side of it is, coming into a city like Melbourne where, there is so much wonderful theatre on here at any given time, it's not a well-known story. A lot of people, I knew about it because I'd read. Also, I went back to Adelaide a few months ago, and I was visiting a friend who lived down the side of Her Majesty's Theatre. So, and I saw the billboard out the front. It would be a bit nervous for a company with a very fairly new musical that we don't know much about.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's not one of the established musicals. I guess you could put it like that. I'm sorry. My apologies. I had hello, listeners. I had someone knocking on my door.
In my hotel room.
So I lost a little bit of what you were asking me.
Actually, I heard the noise, but we weren't sure what was going on. No, I was just saying,
live radio.
Exactly. It's definitely live. Just the sheer fact that we don't know a lot about this musical because it's fairly new, and is it a hard sell sometimes? Getting bums on seats.
Yeah, absolutely right. So yes, it is probably not one of the high profile musicals, but it has had a a big run on the West End, and it's it had a run in on had a run on Broadway, and then because of COVID, of course, it had to have a break. But now it's back on again. It's just opened this weekend, which is really exciting. And I think the fact that Dylan has such a following, and even if people aren't Dylan aficionados, they know him. They know his place in the canon of of music. I think that's absolutely a draw card. I would also say that we have such a fantastic cast led by Lisa McCune, who, of course, is one of the country's most successful actors.
Beautiful voice.
And her performance is quite quite phenomenal. She plays a woman who has onset dementia. And so to see her transform the way that she does, the detail in her work, and then she sort of breaks out and sings Rolling Stone in such a really powerful way as one of her songs, key song. I think word will get around pretty quickly. It has done in other cities, and we feel it's a very Melbourne show. So, and certainly by the audience response we've had so far, we think we've found a bit of a home for the show here.
Yeah, yeah, and definitely, and we like going to discover theatre as well. And you're like, well, I don't know about it, but let's go and see it anyway, which is a good thing.
It absolutely is. And actually, just talking about the two women I sat next to today, in the interval, they said that they didn't really know anything about it at all, other than that it was connected to Bob Dylan. And so they took a bit of a punt on the show, and they were just so thrilled that they had come. They were just loving it.
Yeah, fantastic. So it runs until 4th of June?
That's correct, yes.
Which isn't a huge run. Where, are you going on somewhere else after here?
Yes, then the show packs up and we go to New Zealand. We're off to Auckland and Wellington, and then we'll come back to Australia to pick up the tour for Canberra and for Brisbane. So we've still got a way to go yet, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's playing at the Comedy Theatre, which I love going there because it's not one of the big Melbourne theatres. It's you feel close to everything there, don't you?
Yeah, and I think the show is suited to a theatre of that size. It was certainly built originally for the Old Vic in London, which is a theatre of a sort of similar vintage and size. There's something about getting the feeling that you're almost on stage with the people in the guest house. And so certainly you get that when you're sitting in the audience of the Comedy Theatre. So it's perfect for that theatre. Yeah, we're really loving it there at the moment.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for talking to us, Corey. And the show is called Girl from the North Country Comedy Theatre, as I said, and it's playing until the 4th of June.
Thanks for having me, and apologies for the random knock on the door as well.
Hey, we love it. We're fine with it.
No problems at all. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye. We've been talking to Corey McMahon here on Joy 94, who's the director of The Girl from the North Country here on Joy 94.9. And in fact, this this track is The Girl from the North Country by Roseanne Cash.
Hey.
So here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true coat so warm.
the brightness of my day. So if you're traveling in the North Country Fair,
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.